Yeah, I just finished eating my emergency rations.
I just had an emergency drink of water.
I see. Yeah.
Are you ready anytime?
Yep.
All right. Well, I must be doing something wrong, but it's too late. That's showbiz.
Show must go on.
Show must go on. This is Sant across from George Shooter Nolan. Podcast
reporting
terrible.
For duty.
Reporting for. This is another magical time. How you doing, George?
Oh, I am doing well.
Oh, good, good.
I'm how about you?
About that. You are? What? Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, I'm glad you're doing well. You got any of your shout outs?
Columbus, Ohio.
Oh my. Good Columbus. Good old Columbus.
It's also the capital city
of Ohio. Yes.
Ohio. Yeah. Yep.
Well, good place to pick. Good shout out. That's a fancy one.
Yep. Nice mid-sized city.
Yeah. 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 It's it seems pretty big to me, but you know,
also
I don't...
Chicago.
What's in why should I go to Chicago?
Well, it's just bigger. You know, Chicago's way bigger.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I'll shout out Chicago, blessed Chicago. Well, what's the latest, George? You got any more of your adventures? You're always bouncing around doing something wacky.
Yeah, right now I'm actually going on an adventure. I'm shouting out Skokie, Illinois.
Oh no!
Let's hear it for Skokie.
Yeah. Let's hear it. That's quite an adventure. That shout out.
Yeah. Aside from that, my most recent adventure was watching The Fisher King.
Oh yes, Terry Gilliam, Fisher King. How was that?
It was quite adventurous. I don't know if I can't really tell you too much about it without spoiling it. But
oh yeah, no spoilers. But let's get the basic run of the episode.
So basically, it actually confirms some supernatural stuff. What the act of watching it, and it confirmed a lot of supernatural stuff to me.
What? How
like
do you
the
mean?
Power of the power of serendipity. It manifested itself in my experience because remember how we were talking about how Tom Waits was kind of a nerd.
I was not. No, I don't. What about it?
Oh well, I was thinking about how Tom Waits seemed like the one kind of like pop musician that, like, I can imagine Fraser Crane would listen to let his hair down.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Fraser Crane listening to Tom Waits?
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably compare it to he'll think of it as like he'd like to compare it as like opera or something, and he'd think that it's like something actual like winos and stuff listen to.
Oh yeah, maybe. He was I don't know, kind of portrayed as an elitist in an aloof way, not in an unkind way, but you know, those tossed salads, scrambled eggs.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I was thinking about how, you know how each episode of Frasier has like a celebrity caller?
I think so. Was it
like usually at the beginning of the show, he's on this radio show and they have like a calling guest for his show. And a lot of times it's a celebrity.
Oh, you know, that, I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen an episode of Frasier in a while now. I
It's been
remember the
like, what,
call
2 weeks?
in at least 2 weeks. Yeah, I remember the call in thing. He had a show and people would call it, but I don't recall celebrities. But what of it?
Yeah, I was thinking that Tom Waits, if he seems like the perfect guest to have to do one of those call-in segments, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be fun.
yeah. Although I'm not sure if he actually. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something he's actually done, though.
You know, I don't know. I've read apart from being fairly familiar with at least some of his music, I've read some lawsuits that he's been involved in, letters that where he's airing the grievance, and he uses very colorful language. And then that cigarettes and coffee, I remember it was kind of that way. Or interviews, or he has segments. I think it's I think it's Glitter and Doom, I think, a live album where he has a bit where he talks about, and he does kind of, I don't know, weird. He's weird to listen to when he just speaks. That's the point of that anecdote I brought up.
Well, he's a professional actor. I mean, they don't like just they don't have they don't bring those celebrities on that show and just have them like talk candidly. They follow a script.
Well, he does strange things. I don't know a lot of the motivations, but he's not a real direct. He kind of talks around in fanciful language, at least sometimes, or at least he's known for doing that. It could all be planned and scripted. What do I know? But
Well,
he.
I'm guessing he did that. He started speaking that way, thanks to an image consultant.
I don't
I'm pretty
know.
sure the record label, they sent an image consultant down to him. They're like, "Hey, your music's not gonna sell unless you talk like a madman, you know?"
Yeah, I don't know. I know you would know something about that, having an experience in image consulting. I mean, how would you advise Tom Waits to speak so he would have a public persona that people would feel drawn to?
You know what's a cool public persona is someone who never speaks in public, like Teller
Okay.
Schuman. Have Tom Waits just stop talking in public. That would be pretty cool.
I will, maybe they could team up if Teller gets into music, or Waits gets into magic. It would be nice to see a Waits and Teller duo.
Yeah, that'd actually be pretty cool. What was it? It like that'd be a really good stage show, because Teller Schuman, I think he's like the artist of the Penn and Teller duo, when it comes to magic.
I mean, I'd watch it. They could just do a thing, and like Tom Waits could do like a normal concert, and Teller could just sort of stand there, and they could call it Waits and Teller or something like that. I'd go in for that. Yeah, why not?
No, like Teller Schuman, he wouldn't just stand there. He'd do like magic the whole time.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Magic. He could do magic. And Tom Waits might say something about the magic. I could see him mentioning magic that he's witnessing, sleight of hand and traps and such.
I'll probably see that.
I think you probably won't, but I'd watch it. I think that'd be a good show. I think it'd be fun to sit down in kind of a smoky old lounge with a drink, followed by other drinks, Watch that sort of performance where Tom Waits does some stuff and then Teller does some stuff, and then that's the show. That there's a show. That's the show. I'd go to that show.
That show would be too big to be in a smoky lounge. With their combined star power, they'd at least fill out like Wembley Stadium or something.
They could do a little impromptu thing. I think Tom Waits has done a fair amount of jazz lounge type places, and Teller could just sort of show up unannounced, and but yeah, it'd be a nice surprise, really.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
it'll be pretty funny is if Tom Waits shows up to a Teller Schumann show and just like hops on stage thinking this celebrity, you give him license to just start like playing his music.
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty interesting. I don't really get the sense that Tom Waits is about to like push anybody out of the way so he can be featured. But you know, I don't know him. This is not really an impression I've gotten, but it would be quite an interesting story were that to happen. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's probably more of a Penn Jillette thing. I bet he would probably do that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually think he might. Yeah, there are some celebrities that'd go out and take the stage and try and make it about them. The award shows, Chris Rock getting slapped, or Kanye West talking about Beyonce, or I don't know, they do that, right?
Yes, yep, that's always fun when it happens.
Great, yeah, yeah.
Only reason to watch an awards show, in my opinion.
I mean, all right. So, like, you watch an award show, that's your reason. It's probably not going to happen. And you still have to watch the whole award show. So I don't think it's a reason to watch the award show. I think there's really no good reason to watch one of the major award shows.
I think the only reason you should watch an award show is if you're related to someone who might get an award, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I don't know, a musician I liked was up for a Grammy or something, I probably would not watch the Grammys. I don't want to sit through that.
Well, if your cousin was up for best makeup, would you watch it then?
I don't know. I'm not really close with any cousins.
Best sound design.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know any cousins very well.
What if your neighbor is up for best hard rock heavy metal album?
I don't know. If I happen to run into the neighbor, I'd say, hey, way to be, bud. But I have kind of a fences make good neighbors philosophy with neighbors. I don't ever go out of my way to interact with a neighbor.
I see. Well, yeah. Which brings me to my neighboring point.
Oh,
the next point.
Yeah, I knew this was coming.
Yeah, so I, you know who I, but you know who was in that movie, The Fisher King?
Yeah, you told me a couple names, a little bit.
So there was Tom Waits, he was in it, but the thing that brings us all together is serendipity.
Yeah.
David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, yes.
Niles Crane. Yeah, Niles Crane.
Oh, that's not who came to mind at all. Yep, of course that's David Niles. Yes, yeah. Yeah, that really, really brings it full circle, makes you think.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like it was like the universe knew I was thinking about that connection, and it connected it in that movie.
Yeah, serendipity. That's what you're talking about. It's a real what synchronicity, synchnocratic? Would it be synchronocratic?
I don't know.
I hope so.
I'll have those fancy vocabulary.
I'll have to look at my flashcards. well done. You've tapped into something cosmic.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's the best way to put it. I like Terry Gilliam movies, but I have not seen all of them. I have not seen Fisher King.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I imagine it is. So, you know, I'll have to see it at some point.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges is in it.
Oh, good. Didn't you say Robin Williams is in it?
Robin Williams, yep. He plays the homeless man.
Oh, my. Well, you know, I like seeing him and stuff.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges plays a radio shock jock, kind of like Howard Stern.
Oh, that's so like Jeff Bridges.
Yep. So.
Yeah, well.
What'd you say?
Oh, no, I was about to split off into a totally separate issue. Please, by all means.
That's all right. You can go ahead. What's the issue? Is it David Hyde Pierce?
Oh, no. Yeah, I like him just fine. I was going to say that I likewise watched a film. It was Dark Horse, Todd Solondz's Dark Horse, and I had not seen that one.
Oh, Jordan Gilbert, Christopher Walken, Selma Blair.
You know it. Yeah, that's the one. This was the first time I watched it, and it was really awkward. I mean, he's kind of known for that. What Happiness and
Storytelling.
I haven't seen Storytelling. What's the one where it's like Don Wiener's niece, and it's played by a whole bunch of different people playing that one little girl.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. That was one of his newer ones, right? Like where there's a Kieran Culkin, isn't it, or something?
I don't know actor name.
Oh no, that's Wiener Dog I was thinking of.
No, I haven't seen Wiener Dog.
Palindromes?
Palindromes, thank you. Yeah, Palindromes had some really uncomfortable moments. Did Welcome to the Dollhouse. That was a little cringy. It's always really well done, but it's awkward as hell. And the Dark Horse was just green with it. It was an interesting movie.
Yeah. It's probably his least cringy movie out there.
It very well could be. But it just highest recommendations in that, but it didn't leave I get that kind of the way that it's portrayed and kind of demonstrating this waiting all these things that you're doing to try to get around living a life or doing instead of living a life. Like time is passing, you're choosing not to live. And then, you know, that's it's kind of a message like that. And in a way it's kind of hopeful. Not the events within the movie. They're not hopeful, but the statement of it is sort of a call to action, like Shia LaBeouf yelling "Do it" in front of a green screen, you know?
Oh yeah. Is that like from Transformers?
Yeah, maybe. No, I don't think so. I think it was a. I think it was one of those memes. He yelled "Do it" in front of a green screen, And people put that in videos for a while.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I guess it was performance art.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he does a little of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was Dark Horse about? Like, tell me the story. Help me recap it. Don't worry about spoiling it for the listeners, they got fair warning.
No, I'll give a basic thing because I don't want to spoil it. I have back in the days when I would actually like show films to people as opposed to watching them alone. I would like to expose people to that the handful of Todd Solondz movies that I knew. That there are a few movies directors is that I would like to have them watch and just sort of be startled by. Anyway, so I don't want to give the full here's what happens at the very end, but the basic idea is that you've got a grown man, middle 30s, who's overweight. He's only employed because he works for his father's company. He's very quick to talk up himself and to put down others. And he's just and he gets on with well, he doesn't get on, but he meets a woman at a wedding. And he's just got his misadventures, and you get through him that he kind of gets that he's stepping out of life. He kind of gets that everything that he's saying and doing is inappropriate, and he kind of gets that the investment in collectibles is really just, I don't know, kind of like dealing with a with an absence of culture and connection instead of just paying into this I don't know, this shallow hobby of spending money based on items that exist not to serve a purpose but just to get people to buy them. He kind of gets it. But it's only shown that he gets it in a roundabout way. But that's Dark Horse in a nutshell. I'm sure that made sense to everybody without exception. Yeah.
I'm the exception that proves the rule.
Well, there you go. Everybody else followed me totally. I made sense. I was succinct and direct. So you're welcome for that, you know?
All right. Well, this is radio history we're witnessing here.
Oh yeah. The most direct, obvious statement made by a human ever.
No, not a human, a broadcaster.
A broadcaster. I'm not human. I'm a broadcaster. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Let's see. Do you have any dark horse input?
No, it's been so long since I watched that film.
Okay.
Was it I think like his was a Christopher Walken plays his dad, right?
Yeah.
And how was that performance? Was it very
Oh,
Walken-esque?
yeah, no, he was just sort of I mean, he wasn't particularly an engaged and happy individual. He was sort of checked out. This is my life. This is the way it is. And it was clear that like he wasn't happy in his marriage. The work seemed kind of blah. He was just sort of holding it together, and he kind of like I don't know. It always seemed to me that he was kind of I don't know, hating at his son and holding it in behind his eyes. He just seemed like somebody who was over it, didn't want to be there anymore.
Yeah.
Did
he do any like dancing at all? Because he dances in every movie.
He didn't dance. He didn't do the jilted way of speaking that one associates. It was none of the walk and stuff. Like he did a good job. He's good at what he does, but he was just playing a beaten down guy who was just tired of it all. That's kind of what it was.
I see, just like myself.
Oh, just like all of us at a point. Or not, you know, maybe not. Who knows? I think we have to take a quick break, but we'll be back for more of this magic very soon. How do you feel about that, George?
Went well.
All right. So now we can be back, because we weren't back before, but we're back now. I mean, we were here already, and we were back before the break, but now we're back again.
Yeah, that was a fun recess.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. What'd you do in your break?
Played some kickball. Some jacks.
Wow. Yeah, I just sat here with my eyes closed and thought about life in the world.
Yeah, with your head on the table.
No, I didn't have the energy to put my head down.
I see. You gotta conserve it for this half of the show.
Oh,
gotta
yeah,
carry all the content.
Yeah, this is gonna be quite an effort. This next one here, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
So, did our viewers send us any mail or send any questions?
It's
mail time. It's the time of the show.
Yeah, it is. It's time for mail, and we just got a lot of warm wishes, which are very welcome, but difficult to respond to beyond sending them back. So warm wishes to you, viewer, listener, and sleeper that dreams us all into existence.
Yep, warm wishes to all those folks out there.
Yeah, warm.
I want all the folks listening in their cars to like honk their horn in, you know, solidarity with the show.
Oh, and I want you to not honk your horn in solidarity with the show out of politeness for your fellow commuters.
Well, we're trying. It's actually a great way for us to raise awareness. Imagine if everyone's listening to this live at the same time.
Yeah.
And I tell everyone to lay into their horns. Imagine like how loud a sound you could hear across the whole country. It would probably be unprecedented, that amount of sound.
Yeah, this is like Hands Across America. This is quite a spin on the collective human experience. Well done, George.
Yeah, that's our big project.
All right.
Honk across the homeland.
Honk, you guy. Don't do it. I think you should just smile silently with your eyes unfocused. Not if you're driving. Eyes unfocused.
And just with your hand pressing the horn.
No. No. No, not if not
both
if
hands, good. both hands pushing down on the horn.
No, no, no. Gentle, quiet. That's the fun. That's the real party. The real podcast was the gentle quiet we made along the way.
We kind of have a raucous and body program right here.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Our image is like. We're like the party animal of the podcasts in the media landscape.
Well, yeah, yeah, which is why it should be consumed responsibly.
Yeah.
With deliberate peace.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to make a suggestion, maybe a request from our viewers.
Oh my, let's go ahead.
Okay, so next time you go to a party, what you can do is like go to the music system and just put our podcast on.
Oh my. Now that's an idea.
That would be a great idea, don't you think? Like it'd be like upping the party atmosphere to 10, you know?
Oh, sure.
It's basically you're putting like this podcast is basically a party, right?
Oh,
and you're putting And then you're putting that on top of an actual party, it can like kind of multiply the festivity of the event, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. You know, start bugging us about producing merchandise.
Yeah. We should do like shot glasses.
Shot glasses, t-shirts, baseball hat, underpants, socks, shoes, dolls, yard signs.
Yardsticks.
Do what?
Yardsticks
for miles. If there is enough of a fan clamor behind it, we'll have somebody produce a mile stick. How do you like that?
A mile stick. That's not bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, I imagine the price would be quite high on something like that.
How many yards are in a mile?
Oh, I don't know. I off the top of my head, I don't know how many feet are in a mile, so I couldn't tell you. But it'd be a few.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh,
because we can actually calculate it, you know.
And he's got a. It's the chip in his head, folks. He's got a chip in his head.
My eyes are lighting up and lights are going back and forth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to read all the terms and conditions when you buy an iPhone.
Yeah, so there's 1760 yards in a mile.
Oh my goodness. Well,
so how many how much does a yardstick cost? Let's see. Yardstick from the closest store for shopping. This is all in my head. Like I know I just know the prices.
Yeah, yeah, he's going into a trance.
Yep, like there's like the lights are blinking, you know.
Yeah, yeah, this is disturbing.
Okay, how much would you pay for a yardstick?
You what?
How much would you pay for a yardstick?
Oh, $80.
$80.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Cheapest one I can think of is like about like $7.
Yeah.
However, let's say it's like, let's say it's like 5 times 1760. Let's say you got like a discount since you're buying so much.
Yeah.
So let's say it's $5 for a yardstick times 1760. How much is that? You know the math, right?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us?
Let's see. I'm gonna carry the one, add the nine, and you got so $8,800.
Yeah. Well, I would be.
Let's say $9,000. Let's say you can expect to pay $9,000. to buy a bunch of 1760 meters and make them into 1 mile stick.
Well, no, I mean, I think we would want to have it manufactured as one continuous piece, 1 solid mile stick.
That's not going to happen.
No, I mean it'd be difficult, but if you're using like wood made out of like the particle wood pulp or something, like it doesn't have to be all one piece of wood from a tree, or it could be some kind of pressed synthetic. I don't know how we would do that. I don't know who would do that, and it's got to have a little flat bit along the side. You know how rulers will have, you know, this wouldn't be metal. That would be insane. But you know they'll have a flat piece of metal on one side. I don't know how we would go about it.
Well, you know what? You know what's actually the most difficult part about having a mile stick is keeping it on your property.
Well, no, I
It's
don't know what you could do with it. It would snap under its own weight if you tried to turn it up, and
Yes,
you'd probably
and
be breaking some kind of a law about sticking things up in the sky.
you know, and yeah, exactly. You know, like planes don't go that high, you know.
Yeah, maybe it could be donated to a park or something.
I guess you have to put like right in the middle of some like abandoned national park
I'd be
with
fine
like a
with
mile.
that.
Yeah, you need like a mile square mile of clear space across, like around, you know,
Yeah.
just to keep, you know, like there's no way like you can like ha lay down a mile stick. It's not gonna like hit rocks or whatever, you know,
I
or
mean,
trees. We
I.
blocked by trees.
Yeah. I bet we could have it made out of a material where if it's laying flat, it wouldn't snap under its own weight. But I don't know where you'd put it. I think I don't know. I don't know how we would possibly ship it or deliver it to anybody. I don't know how we could possibly do that. But I would be willing to bet that we could have it made if we were funded and energized to do it, like a stick that was a mile long. I bet it could be done.
No, it seems impossible.
Nothing's impossible, all right.
That is impossible.
No, if there is enough fan motivation and financial backing, we could make a mile stick.
That'd probably take like $100 million.
I hope not. But,
At least.
well, I
Just
don't.
for a shop that can accommodate making a mile, one thing that's a mile.
Yeah.
You know how long that shop would have to be?
At least a mile.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, it's a mile long factory. You know? Like imagine like a warehouse that's a mile, you know, long, you know, at least. I don't think there's ever been a warehouse that big.
I have faith in the mile stick. I think it is within the capacity of human ingenuity. I don't know how quality it would be. And perhaps it would have to begin like you mentioned, creating a bunch of yardsticks and putting them together. I don't know about that, but I could
That
see.
could happen,
Well,
but
that could
that even
happen.
that's hard. Even that's hard.
Well, yeah, but if you had like a place to feed it out to, like let's say it's part of some charity project and it's being taken in by a park or something, and the manufacturing process is sort of like you print out a length of the thing and then kind of press it into and smooth it out so it becomes one piece with the next piece that's being made, and then you just sort of run it down, or you yourself run down as you're doing it. I think you could make it where it has to be. I think you could do that.
Yeah, I get, you know, you might as well just like hand carve each foot of the mile stick.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe one would have to etch it out or paint it or draw it as it's being created, because it's not just like a stick that stretches out a mile. It has to have notches on it that use the standard measurement. So this thing would be counted out in inches.
Yep. You know, at this point, it's so impractical. It's almost more practical now to just make it on the moon, where there's plenty of like space to hold it and, you know, make it.
Oh, no.
Might as well just get a huge warehouse on the moon and just make it there. It's like almost that's almost more practical than how you do it on Earth.
Okay. Imagine this, right? Imagine some smiling stone statue. It could be crude, of the players, the podcast terrible players, just grinning benevolently into the void. I don't know. And then it's in some kind of a park someplace, right? And stretched out along a walking path that goes straight is a mile stick. It could be done for charity or something like that. If you tied it to some irrefutably good deed, you know, we'd be heroes, zero to hero, just like that movie. It'd be a miracle.
Like that guy Christo.
Like Christo, yeah.
Like, what did he do in Central Park? He like hung garbage bags or something.
I don't know who this is. I don't know who Christo is.
Oh, he was like this performance artist who did installations in like Central Park. Ooh, and they're like, you know, like putting blankets on stuff or something.
Yeah. But what if it was, instead of a blanket, it was a mile stick?
A mile stick. It's they say it can't be done.
Yeah, let's prove them wrong.
Like, oh yeah, you know, it'd actually be a great piece of merchandise.
A
rolled up mile tape measure kind of thing. It's like tape measure, but it's a mile long.
Okay.
You could probably carry that, you know, if you have a thin enough material.
You know, we could actually market and sell that one. I think the mile stick would have to be a charity thing. But you could ship a mile tape roller. It'd just be, I don't know. It seems like that sort of thing would be dangerous. Like imagine you pull the thing out a mile, right?
Yeah.
And then you let go and it just goes back. It could take somebody's leg off.
That's true. Well,
you could do it like a spool, the paper ones. You ever seen the
yeah,
the
that's what I'm cloth? Thinking. Like, yeah, I'm thinking like a spool of paper, like a paper strip that's a mile long.
Yeah. That sort of cloth thing. I think we could put that in. It's not the fabled mile stick, which you know, someday, but
mile tape.
Yeah, mile tape. That'd be pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, imagine like imagine carrying that around with you.
Oh yeah, you'd be the life of the party. You'd be the bell of the ball. That people would gather around you and lift you up onto their shoulders and cheer. You know.
Oh yes, and plus our program would be playing in the background.
Oh sir, well yeah, that's a given.
Like one of our many listeners would have like long ago hijacked the stereo and plugged his phone in to broadcast our program.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that can happen.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like that. Yeah, I can imagine like make like a it would be a great hiking accessory. It'd be like a game, you
Yeah,
know?
well, like just imagine if Hansel and Gretel had had one of those, they wouldn't have been captured by that. Let's see. Yeah,
That witch?
no, they probably still would have been. Well, I don't know. Isn't the thing they put down the breadcrumbs and birds eat them so they can't find their way back?
I think so.
Yeah. So don't be like Hansel and Gretel, you guys. By the patented podcast,
Mile tape.
terrible mile tape, the only podcast terrible approved mile tape, unless
Yeah,
somebody
you
wants
could.
to sponsor us for theirs.
Yeah, God, like there's a game you can play with it. Is like, so one person holds one end and another person holds the other end, right?
Yeah.
And then one person goes ahead at the and then just keeps walking until they stretch out the whole mile tape. And that's the game. And then the person at the other end, they when the mile tape like gets, you know, it's when it's finished, they like walk towards the other person, and that keeps on going.
Yeah, well, yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, there could be a little lever on the side of it so you can roll it back up. So they could unspool the entire thing and then roll it back up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's kind of part of the game. Like once you stretch it out, the other person rolls it back up.
Yeah, you.
And then the next person rolls it back out a mile, and then the second person rolls it back up.
Yeah, you could go to the middle of the ocean and put a weight on it and drop it in the ocean.
Yeah, you're probably breaking some laws though there.
Yeah, don't
Yeah, and
don't.
you'll get caught in like fishing traps and all that sort of stuff.
Well, I take it back. Our resident legal eagle. George here says not to do it.
Yeah, I've watched episodes of Practice, so I should know.
Oh yeah. Well, that's about all you need. Well, what's been up in your life this past few, however real the time, your time. Anything good?
No, like I've just been waiting here for like the next Call of Duty.
That's what that was.
Yeah, I was just
I
sitting.
thought some milk turned or something.
No, I was just sitting here waiting for for you to call and request my services at this podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, I may have a little tale if you wouldn't mind, a little
Oh,
tale.
I'd love it.
All right, so the other day, I go to the grocery store, and I didn't spot one of those little hand baskets that allow you to just go and put in the stuff. And I just had a few things, and the store was fairly busy. And I don't like to get a full shopping cart when I go into the grocery store if I don't have to, because you're always waiting for people. There's not really clear lines of traffic most of the time. And you're just an obstruction, and it takes a trip and triples it. It takes much longer to do that. So I couldn't find one of those little baskets. And what I do is there's an empty register, and by them they've got those paper bags for the checkout. And I grab one of those. And so I go through the store and I fill the paper bag. And it gets kind of torn up moving through the store, but it works, and I'm able to quickly navigate the store. Success. It works out. So I at the end of the trip, I go to the self checkout spot, because there aren't many things there. That's where the line's shortest, and I don't really want to have an extended interaction. I just wanted to pay for my stuff and leave. And so I go there and I take the stuff out of this torn up bag that I've been using, scan it, put it into a new bag. and pay for it. And I didn't see a trash can. And I just wanted to get out. So this bag, empty, destroyed. It's in ribbons. I ball it up, shove it under my shoulder, or under my arm. And I hustle out of the store. And there's a woman who is in attendant over these self-checkout registers. And she gives me an extremely stern look. And I don't look her right in the face, but, you know, just sort of a side glance thing as I hurry up and give one of those, not really a smile, but the things you do.
A smirk?
Not a smirk. No, it's the placid, almost a smile thing that you do. I don't know, to be polite, to let people know I'm not a threat, or I see you. Let's not be uncomfortable. It's short of a friendly exchange, even a basic friendly exchange, but it's just sort of a common gesture. And I give one of those, and I hustle up. And since that point, I've been unable to get out of my head, because she obviously thought, and this is a reasonable concern. I didn't do it. I don't shoplift. I don't. But it would be reasonable to suspect somebody of doing it in that lane, in the self-checkout lane. I didn't think, as I was on the way out, I didn't think to stop and, I don't know, tear out up the bag a little bit more, or pull out the receipt and count out all this stuff, or empty my pockets, or take off my shoes. I didn't think that. I just thought, I'm on my way out. I'm going out. But since that point, and I should have thought of it. I should have just, here's all the stuff on my person, and here's a neat list to show that I just paid for all of it. And so now, I've harbored a concern, like, were my mannerisms and appearance noteworthy enough to be remembered after being suspected of that, or does she see so many people that I'm totally forgotten? If I go there, am I going to be put in a situation where I'm having to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't believe me, draw more attention of myself, possibly identify myself, and possibly encourage, I don't know, somebody to get law enforcement or ban me from the premises? Do I just go there and pretend it didn't happen, and they remember me and I'm flagged, and then at the end of the store, somebody says, sir, will you come with me? And then nobody believes me, or they pocket the receipt, or they just throw it away, and they say, hey, she said this, her word against yours, you are automatically a criminal. Or do I just, like, allow anxieties to stop me from going to that store altogether? And it seems like a collection of bads to choose from. Like, what is the reasonable, normal adult course of action if you found yourself in that situation? Somebody gives you a look, oh, you stole something. You think you're getting away with it. I didn't steal anything, but she thinks I did. Like, what is the rational behavior? What's the reasonable thing to do after that?
Yeah, you know, she probably might not have, she may have given you that look, not because she thought you were stealing. Maybe she just disapproves of you, of the type of guy you are in general. You know, maybe it's like some sort of prejudice thing, you know?
You know,
maybe it's just something about you that she doesn't like. That guy wearing his jeans. You know,
if there wasn't, then there is now. But I'm certainly open to the possibility that I was typecasted. I mean, if I had been, I don't know, like obviously of a demographic who wouldn't need to do that, Mr. Moneybags, I'm there, you know, monocle and top hat and stuff, and I just shove the shopping bag under my arm and walk out. You know, nobody's going to look at that. I mean, they might. Those are the people who would steal the most. But I mean, absolutely. There was something.
Maybe, Or maybe she was just having a bad day, or she was looking at someone else.
It was a glare at me. It was a bright glare, you know. She was looking at me. I just like, is it more rational to try and engage her in conversation? But she may have forgotten it, or it might draw more attention.
She most likely forgot it.
Yep, might have forgotten. Or it might do more to identify me and encourage more involvement that could possibly have a ban or some kind of prosecution. It might. There's no chance she'd believe me. If somebody thinks you stole something and you say, "Hey, I didn't steal," and they work there and they see people steal and they know what happens, like people just observe a thing and make their minds up. You can't say, "Hey, I didn't." The time to do that would have been right then and there. You know, she suspects, "Oh, I'll clear that up immediately." That didn't come to mind. It was leave and carry on with my day. That's what came to mind. That's what I was doing.
Well, in the future, the most reasonable thing to do would be to just go to the store and pretend nothing happened. You didn't really, like, from your story, you didn't do anything suspicious. You just transferred items from one bag to another, and both bags are free, right?
They're the shopping bags they have at the store. I just used one for a little hand basket because I couldn't find a hand basket.
So, wouldn't it be more suspicious if you just put your stuff in that, like, in that bag, the shopping bag you got at the beginning of the trip, and then at the end just walk past the one of the thief just walk past the self-checkout and then, you know, say and then, like, you know, pretend he already paid for it?
I don't know.
A thief wouldn't, like, put stuff in a bag, then take it to the self-checkout, take it out of that bag, scan it, and put it back in a fresh bag.
I don't know. I imagine a lot of those places have cameras on you all the time. I imagine a lot of them don't.
They definitely have cameras at the self-checkouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like right in, like, it's like 6 inches in front of your face.
They very well may have. They didn't have one of those here's your image back at you. So if they did or they didn't, I don't know about
it. They most likely did, even without that thing.
But
they all do. Like ATMs.
Yeah, well, ATM absolutely would. You got cash, you've got a risk of a robbery. Somebody could get mugged right then and there. I don't know. It may or may not have, but I don't know. I don't know. So like you go through these stores, would somebody just slip a thing in their pocket, but then, you know, you don't know where the cameras are. Would somebody if you got your stuff there, and you put it at the end, could she looking at me, she could have reasonably thought, he's got this bag filled with stuff. How do I know that this torn bag doesn't have something else in it that he didn't check out and he just didn't want to pay for, so he balls it up and puts it under his arm? Like how would she know that there wasn't something else in the bag? It seems like a reasonable suspicion to me.
I guess, but you know, it's, I guess she was, like, angry that you used the bag instead of a hand basket. Maybe she thought, you know, maybe she's like, you thought you were being wasteful. She's like, there's hand baskets. Why waste the bag? Why waste the bag? You know,
I don't know if there were hand baskets. I didn't see a hand.
She probably thought there were.
I don't know. But sure. It's wasteful to take two paper bags when you could use one, I guess. But
yeah,
but I think the assumption was, oh, he's stealing something. He's hustling out. He's not looking side to side. I don't know. He's not doing I was closed in. I'm walking quickly out. I'm not looking anybody in the eye. I'm not. I mean, I very well could have looked suspicious. Do people just grab a thing and then, not looking at anybody, just quickly hustle out the door before somebody stops them? I didn't take off running. I'd clearly bought a bunch of stuff.
Are you going to go back, right? And pretend nothing happened, just because nothing did happen.
No, well, nothing did happen, but then it's my word against somebody else's. And if they remember me, I could get banned from the store or worse.
What you have to do is just start bringing up your food on the checkout line, like with the human being.
That
way, each time they know, that way they can see that you're not stealing.
No, I mean, as far as like,
do that a few times at least.
Yeah, no, the only reasonable course of action would be to continue going there, to no longer use the self-checkout line, and if confronted, just kind of demonstrate that I haven't stolen anything. I don't know what else I could possibly do, but like, if somebody were to, like, I remember you, you've stolen something this time, right now, because I thought you did it last time. I could prove right then that I hadn't. So certainly I should not use the self-checkout line anymore. But I think at least for the next time I go grocery shopping, I might go someplace else.
Yeah. Maybe it was just a look that landed the wrong way, that came out wrong, you know?
I mean, it was a look, but I think it came out the intended way, and I should have just stopped and proven it.
Why you looking at me like that for?
No, I mean, I've got no method of defending myself in that type of situation other than calling a lawyer from the station. I don't know.
Just go to that store again and do regular checkout, and then that way their last memory of you would be as an honest paying customer, you know,
which I am and always am.
That memory would supplant the false previous memory, you know, that may have existed.
Yeah,
you know, you're only as good as your most recent work, you know. And if you just take like your stuff to the human cashier, you know, they'll remember you. Like, oh, at least he paid for his stuff that one last time, you know.
Yeah, I don't know,
because I'm pretty sure like they go on their breaks in the break room, they're sitting around talking about like what like every customer they had, you know.
Yeah,
you know, this guy comes in like how many times a week do you come in? Like once a week.
I don't like to.
I bet they're all on their break, like sitting around. Like, oh, did you see that one guy? He comes here like every week, you know, or so. Yeah. You know, I think he may have stolen something. He used two bags instead of one. I'm pretty sure that's how it is, like in the back of the store.
See, I don't know. Like some places, they'll take it really serious. Some places will have like a hands off. We're not going to chase anybody. It's not worth it. Sometimes it's something in the middle. I don't know what potential fallout from that could be.
I'm pretty sure you're on the top of their docket when they have their morning meetings. I'm pretty sure that they're passing your picture around in the boardroom. But there's a sock problem.
Maybe. I don't know. I think it probably depends on the attitudes of the owners or management and how much they lose from people stealing things.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
I'm pretty sure like the manager of that place is like still thinking about like 2 weeks later. It's like, I lost so much money from this guy. I don't know how much or what it is, but this guy is really he's really taking us for a wash, you know. I don't know what he's taking. I don't know how much he's stealing. You know, I haven't like checked the numbers, but you know, I'm pretty sure they're still thinking about that, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know I don't know any of that. I just like I just wanted to go to the store and buy things without without it being an issue, and it's an issue now.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure like they're like they have like, you know how like you hand like a hitman like a folder with like pictures of your targets. Yeah. I'm pretty sure like everyone in the district is like has like you know someone's like given them like a folder with your photos in them.
Oh.
And they're all like taken like by a private investigator, so you know it's like all like you're in your car or something or like in your house.
I don't know. I don't know.
Pretty reasonable scenario.
I don't know what's reasonable. I don't know. I don't know if they had cameras on my face or what. I do know that we've got less than a minute, and I hate to do it, but I think we need to. I think we need to rush away after that little humiliation. So you got any good shout outs, George, to end this lovely time?
Newark, Delaware.
Newark, Delaware. Don't do anything suspicious in beautiful Newark, Delaware.
Newark. Newark.
That's what I said.
It's pretty tricky.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Newark. Newark. Newark.
I think that's how it is.
Yeah, well, I believe you. Well, on that note.
All right.
Hey, hello. Sorry about that. It doesn't count down the minute. It just says 1 minute. So I missed that.
All right. Well, I'd like to. So about Newark, Delaware, shout out to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're
at
the home of Harry Coover. He was the guy who invented super glue.
Oh wow!
And you know what?
Yeah,
you know what's crazy about him?
No,
he was born 1899. Guess what year he died?
What?
2011.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! It's
he was 112.
Oh, the numerologists are gonna have a field day. What could it all mean?
Well, that's just a long time to live, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well,
it's like that's probably top 1% of lifespans right there, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very few people do that. A shout out to that, and everybody who lives to be over 100, and signing off. I am.
All right. Well, it's now it's time for the honk across America. All right. Three, two, one. All right, guys. Have a good one. I'll see you in the next one.
Yeah.
Stay classy.